Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
All right, what's going on, people of the internet? Welcome back to another episode of the Waveform Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Marquez.
And I'm Andrew.
And in today's episode, we're talking, a couple things. We're going to talk about some of the mixing of iMessage and RCS and reactions that's been happening lately. Kind of interesting to follow. Also, we're going to talk about smartphone trade-ins, some really crazy deals you can get in the Samsung world. But first off, we got to talk about the Super Bowl. Just a little bit of classic media, I guess.
Yeah, classic media talking about future tech. Look at that. Yeah. I didn't even write that down.
A little transition.
Yeah, there we go.
If you will.
We had the Super Bowl this weekend, and I think one thing we were guessing at the studio is how many EV ads we would see, and we're definitely not the only people who thought that.
Yeah, I was trying to set an over-under. How many electric vehicle commercials do we think we're going to see at the Super Bowl? Because the Super Bowl is kind of like our litmus for like what's trending in the world of, I guess, advertising, but really in just
mainstream.
Like, yeah, in mainstream. It turned out crypto had a not just a moment, but several of them as some of the biggest commercials, which I thought was really interesting. I'm not sure if there were more crypto or electric car commercials now.
I think there was more electric car, but there was more crypto than I expected. And there was also that terrible MetaQuest commercial that was just brutal.
I remember a long time ago, it was a homework assignment. I think this was high school, actually, where the homework assignment was to watch the Super Bowl specifically for the commercials and to take notes and to see, this was definitely like an advertising writing class, something like that, and to see like what we noticed about the commercials. And that's like stuck with me ever since. Like I pay attention to the ads during the Super Bowl. It's the biggest traditional commercial moment of the year, at least in this country.
Yeah, it's gotten worse and worse over the few, less and less creative, but there's still some good ones. I actually, as I was writing this down and looking through and rewatching all the EV ones, I came to the conclusion I thought the EV ads were the best of the Super Bowl. If like you had to pick all the commercials in a category, I thought the EV ones were some of the best, some of the most creative, some of the funniest.
I feel like we always get like 3 out of every 10 of the commercials, probably the majority, are like Miller Lite or Bud Light or some Budweiser commercial.
And they're
like
not as good as
Doritos. Yeah. They always have some commercials. Like there's always a certain set number of like pillar advertisers that we're used to seeing. So the ones that aren't those are a little more interesting to pay attention to because we're so used to seeing that stuff.
Funny enough, though, they still are kind of the pillar. The ones we specifically saw, and we'll get into that, is like legacy car manufacturing in the US is huge. And like GM, Ford, all of these car companies are always making a ton of commercials and they're some of the biggest. It's just interesting that this year, almost all of those were EV based.
Yeah.
So it feels like it's bringing EV to the masses. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about here because there were a lot of them and they were good.
Yeah. Did you see also, this is a random tidbit, but did you see on Twitter, Doug DeMiro tweeted a screenshot of his YouTube analytics during the Super Bowl, and he got a bump of a couple thousand views on his Kia EV6 review video.
Interesting.
Because as soon as that commercial aired, people went to YouTube and looked it up.
Let's start right there. Let's start at the Kia commercial.
Yeah. Over-under,
okay.
I set it at 9.5.
Yeah.
I was very optimistic. I thought there would be a lot, but I thought there would be some real cars and then some like, we're going to electrify our future
with like
type ads.
Ones that still showed cars or just like we're
generic,
broad.
Okay. Broad. Yeah, yeah. Toyota, mm-hmm. here we come. There will be lots of EVs.
They
that
didn't.
Type of commercial.
Toyota was one of the main sponsors of the Super Bowl. I don't recall them mentioning EV
didn't
once.
Didn't even mention it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of pickup trucks. So we did get a bunch of actual EV commercials mm-hmm. that we want to talk about. So you want to start with the Kia?
Yeah, yeah. I think we don't have to talk through all of them. I have them all written down in case we want to reference it. But I thought the Kia one was one of my favorites.
That was my favorite.
In my group of people watching, the Kia one got some of the most talk as well. Funnily enough, because a bunch of people were like, that's the new Hyundai. I was like, it's not. But you're also right because it's built on the same base.
Same platform.
But do you want to talk about the robot dog and the
It was basically like there's this world of real dogs and then robot dogs, and the robot dogs feel left out, but they really want to connect with humans. And so it sees this this Kia EV6 on the street, and it's like, wow, I really connect with that. And so this adorable robot dog goes on a quest to connect with the robot car, and eventually it jumps into the sunroof, and then the battery dies. It's a whole adventure.
Yeah, for whatever reason, it deems the best way to connect with the EV6 is to jump from the roof of a building in the city.
Yeah.
Classic. Cool. And then, yeah, its battery dies. And then here's a question I actually have about this. So the battery dies, it lands on the floor, and then the guy plugs it into the charging port on his car and charges it at lightning speeds, by the way. Warp charging can like take a step back to what the charging speeds on that dog was.
Yeah.
And it charges. Do they have some sort of like the F-150 like backwards reverse charging in it? I'm guessing
that,
no, but
when I saw that, I thought he unplugged the car and plugged in the dog with the same thing.
He very specifically plugs back into the car, and then there's like a USB-A cable going into the, which is also like robot dog 2022 USB-A. Are you kidding me?
Come on. Okay, so I didn't know.
Right?
Yeah, I don't.
We're
not
looking
aware
way
of,
too deep in this.
I'm not aware of that being a real feature that is shipping.
I would love if that's how they announced it.
We will have reverse charging from the Kia EV6.
For all
now
your
you know
robot
it.
Dogs.
But not for other cars, just for robot pets.
Just for robot pets.
That would be solid. No, I like that commercial a lot.
I did. I also think the EV6 looks really nice. I really, really dig
sharp.
It. It's really sharp. It is the Ioniq 5, but like the sharper, sportier version, I feel like, and I like it a lot. And there was an Ioniq 5 commercial also from Hyundai, a caveman commercial with Jason Bateman, kind of like the evolution of humankind, and then kind of talked about the evolution of EVs and how they used to not be very good. And how they are getting better. I thought it was funny. I thought it was cute.
It's always funny how they try to, everyone has to frame it a certain way.
Yeah.
Like you can advertise a product, but the Super Bowl is really about making a statement about your product and how it relates to others. You're telling a story more than anything. Yeah. So I saw lots of like really overproduced commercials for simple things like Salesforce or like random simple single-use things even. So for electric cars, it's always like, you're not just telling the story of like, here's a new product. It's this is the future of our cars, or this is like some futuristic high tech thing. They always try to loop in some little bit of that.
It's funny because since Tesla has basically no marketing, and like they've been doing this for a long time, and we're just seeing legacy manufacturers kind of taking this jump. This is all the stuff we would have seen if Tesla had a marketing budget and wanted to do cutesy commercials for the mainstream. Like. They're kind of, this is the first time we're seeing how legacy and just mainstream marketing of EVs is kind of not, because Tesla never did any of that.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of cool. Like we got to see a bunch of that.
Yeah. I wonder what a Tesla Super Bowl ad would look like. Like I've seen Tesla videos, Tesla intros to their events, Tesla production. I've seen it. I wonder if they made a Super Bowl ad, what that would look like. That would be interesting.
I think they would call us because we won their Love Day commercial.
That's a valid point. Mm-hmm. That's a valid point. They could. One of my favorites was the Polestar commercial.
Yes.
This was earlier in the night. It was in the first half sometime. I remember watching it and thinking, oh, that's a sharp looking. They picked the Polestar 2 in white.
Holy.
Black and white. A nice looking vehicle. Mm-hmm. And the commercial itself was very, it was just like a series of statements. We're not this. Mm-hmm. We're not this. We're not this. And some of those statements were very directed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, did we write them down?
No, there was one about Dieselgate.
No Dieselgate. I wonder what they're referring to there.
It's almost impossible to tell. Yeah. And No Conquering Mars.
No Conquering Mars, which I guess is more of along the lines of like, we're not distracted by other things.
I think it's like very specifically like our CEO is not distracted for other things, which I know nothing about Volvo's CEO.
Like, but Conquering Mars sounds kind of dope, but I guess if you're like, we're not conquering Mars,
you're
like, we're... we're not distracted by
that. I think it's safe to say if I'm going to buy a car, I don't give a damn about if the people making it are conquering Mars or not.
So. Yeah. But it was specifically for the Polestar 2, which to me is, it says a couple things. One, all right, they're actually trying to sell this car big time. Cool. And two, I don't know. What do you think? Did they make a meaningful case for like considering the Polestar as a car to buy, or was that more of a statement about Polestars in general?
I think what is, they know that they're, I mean, so we kind of talked about which type of EV companies would be going on at the Super Bowl. We were wondering if we would see Rivian or like Lucid,
startups,
which we didn't. Cars, companies that people don't know. And while Polestar is still under Volvo, Polestar is not a household name right now. So I think that commercial could have been whatever it was. If you see that really nice white Polestar at the end and see the car company Polestar, people are going to be like, what is this? And be intrigued. And that's what they did. It worked perfectly.
Yeah. That's the kind of commercial where I think people just Googled Polestar.
Probably.
And not specifically the Polestar 2.
Yeah. I would not doubt if all of these different car companies during the Super Bowl, if Polestar was the most searched after.
Of the EVs?
Yeah, because it's a company no one knows about. Or company most people, people know about, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that was my initial suspicion when I was considering like what counts as an EV commercial. If you are just going to generically say, like, I think we'll get to this in a second. Actually, let's just do it now. The GM commercial.
Yes.
The GM commercial wasn't about, look at this one specific product that's so sick that it changes the trajectory of our company.
No.
It was, I think they ended with a statement that just said 30 new EVs by 2030.
Did it say that?
I think that was the text that was on the
screen. GM was kind of weird because they were also one of the specific sponsors of the Super Bowl. So they kind of had little pieces. They actually had two full-blown commercials and then also their like little transitions.
Yeah. But that, I did see one that had that statement at the end.
Was it the Dr. the Austin Powers one?
It had a bunch of people in it.
Yeah. The Austin Powers one was like I don't know if I'm showing my age, but Austin Powers was a really funny movie when I was a bit younger. I loved them. So it like brought back the cast of that and kind of Dr. Evil's like this villain. So basically in the commercial is like pollution and everything is the real number one villain of the world. So in order for Dr. Evil to be the number one villain, he has to eliminate pollution. So then he can be the evil. So he has to save the world to destroy the world.
Got it.
And that's kind of, and then he hops in a Hummer at the end. Which also had a really funny, like, really low angle of him in the Hummer. And it's like, that's how I actually feel when the Hummer is, like, around.
Yeah, I think that's how we all feel about the Hummer standing next to that thing.
Yeah. And funny enough, the other ad was for the Silverado EV, which was specifically one model.
Yes.
I know it was a Sopranos tie-in, which I don't watch it. I don't think you do either. But funny enough, it was just it driving around, like, places right outside the studio.
That one was really funny because I remember when we shot the Rivian video, we drove around like the studio around New Jersey and I'm like testing the car and all this stuff. That Silverado commercial to me was not a Sopranos reference because I've never seen the Sopranos, but they drove around our studio. All the street signs and everything. Yeah. I'm like, I drove the Rivian on that same road.
That's my commute in the morning.
That's my commute. That's crazy. So yeah, that was sort of like hitting close to home, but it was specifically for this Silverado EV pickup truck. That was what that commercial was for.
I also thought the truck looked better in that video than some of the press images we've seen.
It was a blue one,
maybe,
right?
Yeah, maybe just actually seeing it driving around.
Yeah.
It looked nice.
Seeing it move, seeing it roll. I think also then the first one of the night for me was the BMW iX.
Yeah.
And this is another funny one. Yeah, it had some sort of lightning puns about zapping everything with lightning.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know.
I didn't get the part where he's so mad that he's like charging everything, but then he's happy that he gets an electric car that needs to be charged. So to me, it felt like this was just more work for Arnold Zeus. But I don't know. I know Hayata is going to disagree with me on this one, but I kind of liked what it looked like despite the giant pig nostrils on the front of the car.
Do you like it despite the nostril or do you like it with the nostril?
I would like it more without the nostrils, but I still do like it with the nostrils.
Interesting. So that was that was specifically a commercial for the BMW iX.
I'm getting a nod of agreement.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was good. I think that was also one that probably would have some people searching for it after they saw the commercial.
Yeah.
Because it had a big like road presence in the video. You saw it moving and rolling. You're probably interested in a new BMW. What is that new electric car? So that I think they did a pretty solid job in that commercial of getting that curiosity
going. It was the cutesy Super Bowl S commercial enough to kind of catch your interest for a second. And then a new car from BMW is always interesting. Now, there was another one that to me felt like the EV aspect was too second, like pushed on the back burner for it, because I looked at multiple blogs to write this episode today just to make sure I could watch all the commercials, and almost none of them included Nissan as having an EV ad.
Right, you caught the Nissan one, yeah.
Yeah, and we both caught it. But it was just like this action hero with Eugene Levy driving around in a Nissan Z, and then at the end when the movie like premieres, he hops into a Nissan Ariya, and it like quickly shows the back of it, but almost no one noticed.
Yeah, it was funny. I was watching all these commercials. Immediately when a new commercial would come on, I'd go, oh, is this an EV? Is this an electric car?
Yeah.
So I'm watching it, and this entire time it's this gas car making gas car sounds, and it's a Nissan commercial. So I'm like, oh, it's not the EV. Mm-hmm. So I just sort of tune out for a second because I'm just watching this yellow Nissan sports car drive around. And then at the very end, they bring in the Ariya, and they show the badge of the Ariya. So you're like, oh, that's the electric one. And then the commercial ends. So I guess I count that.
They mentioned it. It's not a good one.
It's not.
No one looked up the Ariya afterwards.
I think that's true. Yeah. I think that's true. So I also want to throw in just a quick bonus one, an extra one. It wasn't technically for an EV, but it was electric car related. It was for the Wallbox EV charger.
Yeah.
So it was like a garage charger for electric cars. It got a Super Bowl ad. I was kind of surprised that this, you know, I've never heard of this company, but they've made this electric car charging box that you put in your garage. And there's lots of other companies that make these too.
Yeah.
But they had a Super Bowl ad. So that's pretty sick.
I think what's crazy about that is like, we knew we were going to get EV commercials, and we know that means it's like a step towards being more in the mainstream, but getting EV accessory commercials at that, I feel like we took two steps more towards it being mainstream and people wondering about it. He plugged into a car, right? Was it just like a default no name, like no badge car? I think it was just like a silver crossover.
I don't actually remember. Let me find it.
I'm sure no company. It would be funny if that's how Tesla slipped in. Because like 2 years ago, Tesla didn't have a Super Bowl ad, but they kind of did, because when they were asking all the players during the press conference in the beginning, like about their cars, like half of them mentioned a Tesla.
Yeah.
And so everyone was like, oh yeah, Tesla snuck in there without any real marketing.
Oh, interesting. It's, I am catching a glimpse. They didn't make it to the logo, but if you look at the ad, you can tell that's an Audi. That's an Audi grill and Audi headlights.
Oh yeah, so that's got to be the e-tron,
some like e-tron SUV. SUV, yeah. Huh. So there you go.
Interesting.
Unofficially featured, but it was for the box.
So let's go back to that 9.5 number. Weird thing here is, so we have BMW, GM, Hyundai, Kia, Polestar, Nissan. There was no specific Volvo one for an EV, at least. Do you count Wallbox?
I'm gonna count it because it's in the genre of EVs.
Okay, so that is seven companies, but GM had the GM and the Silverado one, so that's two.
Yeah.
So then I think we're gonna be under, even if there was. I thought there may have been a second Polestar commercial, but I don't know if that was a social media one during it, because there's another one similar to it where they're just a bunch of like words.
Yeah. Flash. So slightly under.
So we're under, slightly but under. Close.
Pretty close. I don't mind that guessing. You know, I honestly think we're going to see more next year. I think when you watch car commercials over the next couple of years, more and more of them in general will be EV commercials, more and more of them will be EVs. So naturally the number goes up.
Yep.
So I was optimistic with my 9.5, but I feel pretty good about that.
And I'd like to say, like, you think about Super Bowl, you think about kind of like the stereotypical like trucks and whatever, like gas. We love gas cars. We love football, American football, for all you international listeners out there. Sorry. American football. Seeing EVs in there feels like it's reaching an audience that EVs wouldn't maybe hit quite as often. So
yeah,
I dug that. But we talked about Toyota not having any EV presence on there, but probably like a month ago at this point, we just haven't gotten a chance to talk about it. They kind of released a bunch of concept ideas for their lineup of EV between them and Lexus. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to go over a few of them. This is all purely looks, but I think we just have to go through some and look at them, because we did it once and I think some of these look really, really nice and some of these look really, really dumb.
So off the top, they start with a promise, just like lots of other companies have. Yeah. Toyota says they're going to spend over $17 billion to come out with 30 EVs by 2030.
Yeah.
Very similar. Is that the same as what GM said? 30 by 2030? I guess so. Remember.
I'm losing track with all of these at this point.
They're all sort of around the same thing. In the next decade, here's what we'll do. So they've showed us these images and a bunch of, some of them are renders, but some of them are actual like models.
I think they're all models because while that top picture looks like renders, when you scroll down, they have individual photos of all of them.
Okay, so they've had some press renders, but also they made a bunch of models.
Yeah.
So they've made a bunch of models of different, I guess I'd call them ideas for form factors for EVs. Yeah. So Toyota makes a bunch of different things. They make everything from the Prius to the Camry to the FJ Cruiser to a 4Runner to a whatever. They make a bunch of different type of things.
I think by volume, Toyota is the most sold car manufacturer in the world.
So they've got a bunch of different form factors. So I guess what they're picturing is the future of all these form factors as electric. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what we're looking at here. Not specific models or miles of range or price tags or any of that. It's just sort of like, a two-door sports car.
Yeah, cool. Some of them are very clearly, like the Tacoma and the FJ Cruiser are very clearly based on the Legacy, which is funny enough. I think the Tacoma looks amazing. I think the FJ Cruiser looks like a weird Lego box like driving around.
Yeah.
I think
maybe describe it for our audio listeners.
I mean, so what I love so much about the Tacoma just in general is it keeps this really boxy, rugged look, very flat front with it. When you had to have the grill, it was super simple. So this is pretty much just that, but now the grill is essentially eliminated. This picture is in white. The Tacoma looks so good. I think this looks really good. If you can just imagine a Tacoma with almost no grill. And I think a lot of cars, when you take the grill off, look really, really good. And that's why EVs look really good.
The Tacoma is the truck that my neighbor put a pool in his trunk. So it's a versatile truck is what I get.
Yeah, that's definitely one of their selling points.
It's a versatile vehicle.
Yeah, I don't know if the EV one will, or you might get electrocuted.
Drain plug or something. It should be fine.
Yeah, you know, no worries.
Okay, so next to that, I'm seeing the FJ Cruiser one, which is a nice little blue color with a stripe.
Doesn't it look like a Lego? It looks like Mega Bloks.
It's funny because they're all like these blacked out tinted windows, so they kind of look like toy cars. And this one looks more like a toy car than any of the others, I think.
It looks like a total toy.
It's funny. It looks cool, though. Yeah,
I want to skip through a couple of these. There's a little bronze roadster that, like...
Is that a Supra? Is that what that's supposed to be?
Yeah, I think you might be right. Dude, this looks like it should be in Tron. It looks like it only has one seat, right?
Yeah, so they've made this little sports car thing. My question when I see these is, like, right now, we don't have any two-door EVs other than the Mini Cooper. So the challenge I always think about with this small EV is, where do you put the battery? Yeah. I guess you had the first-gen Tesla Roadster. With that first-gen Tesla Roadster, it put the batteries behind the driver, sort of like where a mid-engine car would have the engine. And with a car like this, I'm looking at, I guess, you know, you want the driver to be pretty low. So if you do the skateboard design with the batteries at the bottom, the driver's not that low. So you gotta put the batteries like maybe some in front, some behind. I don't know. It's a compact little car.
Yeah. We can also skip ahead here. There's a lot of SUVs. I know it's kind of hard to describe everything, especially when these don't have specific model numbers. But
yeah.
I have to say, in the Lexus side, I am in love with like three of them. They have the four-door sedan, which just looks super mean. It's like, it almost has this perfect, I'm going to go back to Tron again, where it perfectly like arcs over itself and just is like a really clean side profile and has like a couple holes in the hood. Looks really good. Then they have a two-door that looks almost like a FRS, where like, you know, a little longer front two-door roadster-esque car.
That's got to be batteries at the front, it looks like.
Dude, the lights on that and the front like spoiler look so good. That might be one of my best.
Very McLaren lights, I must admit. Supercar type lights.
Very, very nice. I think this might be my favorite looking EV. Like, right. Well,
if it happens.
If it's real. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And then they have one other. If you go two more, about three more in. It's like a crossover SUV. I think what I love about EVs, and without ranting too much, is like, what we can do with the lights and the lack of grill, and what we can make the front of cars like fun, which I think is really interesting. I think some EVs are doing a really poor job at it. I don't love the Mustang front, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these like I like an aggressive car. But even with like the Rivian, the Rivian's not aggressive, but
not
it
all.
Looks so cool friendly because face. The light bar can go straight across the with no grill or anything.
Yeah, the Rivian's an interesting one. So whenever I think about these older car companies making their first EVs, yeah. I think they all have a decision to make with each new model is do we want this to be based off of the old one
mm-hmm.
and bring in people who are looking for familiarity, or do we want to change it up and make it look futuristic and bring in yeah. the sort of newer, younger type audience. Mm-hmm. And they have that decision for every single model. And I think the ones that look like the old ones are looking like the old ones for a reason. It's because they want you to go,
F-150.
Oh, I know what this is. Mm-hmm. This is going to be just like the old one, but electric. I can get used to that. Fine. And then there's these faces with the crazy lights and the slots and the bars. And those are a little more risky, but you kind of have to make a different looking car once in a while. And I think this is their chance to try something
new. I think to
new.
Catch some eyes. It's going to catch some eyes for sure.
The R1T was like the most eye-catching car I've driven in years.
Which is, we've driven some crazy cars.
I've driven here. McLarens around. I've driven around supercars for this channel. I've tested some crazy things like that. But yeah, I think I went to go get food or something after one of the days that we were shooting. And just driving into the parking lot, there were people like pointing at it and like, what is that? Oh, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. It was very recognizable. It's got the face. It's got the, it looks kind of like an eyes, like eyes
it
and a smile.
It definitely is eyes for sure. Yeah.
It was very interesting to see that happen. So yeah, they've got a choice to make. And I think they've made a lot of those choices here in their little propositions of designs, which are cool. I think my favorite is the bronze little roadster.
You like the little bronze one? That's like a go-kart.
I know. That's what I'm into.
Yeah. But imagine driving that around when there's also the Hummer EV on the road.
Yeah, I'm just going to zip around and avoid
underneath
that Hummer.
It, yeah.
I'm avoiding that Hummer. Yeah, no, it's fascinating. So yeah, we get a bunch of promises. We get a bunch of very vague, like, yeah, we'll have a lot of range. Don't worry.
Yeah, we'll also link this article in the show notes for any audio listeners who might want to see what these things look like. They're very hard to explain when you don't have a direct comparison. But yeah.
Well, we got to take a break. But when we come back, we'll talk about iMessage reactions, finally working with Google Messages and a little bit of harmony between iPhones and Androids, kind of. Sort of. Be right back.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway.
And I'm Ed Elson.
And we're the hosts, the co-hosts. It's kind of unfair to call us co-hosts. I'm really the host. He's he's my Robin Givens. Let's just be clear on what this is. But anyways, we're the hosts of Prop G Markets, your go-to podcast for all things money. Every Monday, we provide brash, unfiltered analysis on market-moving news, high-flying stocks, growing sectors, stupid boardroom decisions, and master of the universe CEOs.
And on Thursdays, we speak with some of the world's greatest finance professors, Wall Street insiders, and industry experts to keep you informed without getting bored. So if you want to understand money and how you can get more of it, you have to talk about money, and we're here to help you do that. Follow Prof G Markets on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts to automatically receive new episodes every Monday and every Thursday.
That's right. The good news is we know how to get you economic security. The bad news is the answer is slowly. We'll tell you how on Prop G Markets.
Lifetime. Support for this show comes from NetSuite. And that's exactly what NetSuite provides, support. But what they really provide is support where you need it, because no one needs help where they don't need it. So NetSuite wants to provide you with products and services that are tailor-made for your business. Help where you need it. NetSuite is a top-rated cloud financial system bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessible from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math, see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended their one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks, so head to netsuite.com/waveform. That's netsuite.com/waveform, netsuite.com/waveform. All right, we're back, and we've brought David along to talk smartphone ecosystem news. We got a lot to talk about, though.
Mm-hmm.
This is good. David, welcome.
Welcome
so, to me. So we had a sort of a headline of like a kumbaya moment, right? So, What I guess the headline is, Google Messages and iMessage kind of work together a little bit better because if you send a reaction from an iPhone, then someone using specifically the latest beta of the Google Messages app will see the reaction as a reaction instead of as a new text.
Yeah.
We did it.
I have some reactions to this news.
We didn't do it?
Well,
we kind of did.
It was already in motion. Okay. That was actually kind of a funny thing. It was like on Twitter when they announced that this was finally being rolled out, everyone was like, Marquez, the team made the made it happen. It was like, it was already happening, but
yeah, it did happen after our video, but we'll this didn't just like spin up because of my video, just so you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, so basically this is being done on Google's end, right?
Yeah.
Google's latest version of the Messages app, which is using RCS and does a bunch of great things with RCS, if I can talk, is taking that information and just turning it into a reaction.
Yeah.
Basically, it's all being done on Google's end. Nothing was changed on the part of Apple. They're just doing their thing. And so people are seeing that as like, all right, I guess Google's kind of bending to Apple not supporting RCS by just taking that message and turning it into a reaction.
Here's what I see as what's happening. Google's trying to make the experience for Android users better because they know that Apple is never or is not going to do that right now.
Yeah.
So they're basically using a very brute force method. What's kind of funny is in like pretty much any messaging app that's not a standard text messaging app, you can use any kind of reaction. You can use like any emoji as a reaction, but Apple has 6 tap backs. That's what they call their reactions, right? They've got like the thumbs up, the heart, the thumbs down, the ha-ha, the exclamation points, and the question marks.
Nice.
And so Google just went and they went, well, these are only 6 tap backs, so we can just like sort of brute force this thing where like if you get an incoming text message that says X person liked blah, 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 you just slap a little sticker on there.
So it's intercepting the SMS that the iPhone is sending anyway. Mm-hmm. And instead of showing the new message that says, Andrew laughed at your text, it's just going to put the ha-ha reaction.
Right, or an emoji as a reaction.
We probably haven't tested this enough to figure it out, but do you think you could trick it? You think you could trick it and say like, if I text you and say like, Marquez, laughed at this.
But what would it? It would have to be the exact same text. I don't know. We'd have to look at the code, or we could try.
Yeah.
I still don't have it on my phone, even though I'm on the beta.
Same.
So if you have it, let us know how.
Yeah,
it's
we
working.
Could try it. That would be funny. And that's kind of the reason why it also doesn't work on images, because when you send an image or like when you react to an image on iMessage, it just says liked an image, and Google can't take the text of image.
Doesn't know
and
which
pick
image,
which one it is.
Yeah. Okay.
The context is weird. Yeah, because it's a very brute force method.
Yeah, yeah.
I tweeted last week, like, I'm kind of surprised that Apple doesn't intentionally, like, mess this up by just expanding tap backs to every single emoji that there is. They have little animations, obviously, so when you do a tap back, it'll be like, it'll bubble in the exclamation points or do something like that.
Yep.
So they'd have to build that out, obviously, but I was surprised they hadn't done that.
It's also kind of funny because Google didn't match it exactly one-to-one on them. And
the emojis are not really the same.
Yeah, I found a really funny Reddit comment that was just like how they changed the heart to the face with heart
with
eyes.
With the heart eyes.
And how that doesn't always work
which
together.
Which is not, they should have just used the heart.
Yeah, you have it.
Because like the heart eyes sometimes could be like flirty.
Here's an example. Somebody said, a heart is an acceptable reaction to someone who said their dog just died. Heart eyes is not an appropriate reaction to a death in the family.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it doesn't really work one-to-one there.
So here lies an issue is, in my opinion, you're trying to communicate a feeling to the other person, right? And an issue here is that, like, okay, the experience is slightly better for Android users now because instead of getting a separate message, like literally yesterday, a friend reacted to every single text that I sent them for the last like 2 days.
What a troll.
But she didn't know, like she had no idea, but I just have
she knew.
Maybe.
She knew.
I don't know. She has this full, I have this full page now of just like react things, you know, and people do that as a joke, but it was real. So from my side, if like my app got updated and I got the reacts, cool. But say I'm an Android user who doesn't really understand how they're doing that and how I can't. Is Google going to issue some sort of thing that is like, by the way, you're going to see little indicators on your text that show that the iPhone user reacted to you, but you can't react back. Yeah. That's a kind of weird line. And I'm not saying that Google shouldn't do it because it is still a better experience.
Just to clarify real quick, because I don't think we said it yet, but you can't send them back to iMessage.
Correct.
What happens?
I don't think we said that out loud. You just can't.
There's no like,
oh, it doesn't let you?
Because it's SMS.
Because all Google, the messaging app is doing is taking literally an SMS message and then turning it into a reaction.
Stamping it on
there. Like you doing it back, iMessage isn't going to pull that in and do this.
You can't even do it back. So you can only do it through RCS.
Right. So now you're on an Android phone. If you're in an RCS chat, you can see that you're in an RCS chat. You can react. The person you're talking to can react back.
Correct.
If you're talking to someone on an iPhone with this latest beta, you will just have to get reactions and you will not be able to react back and you probably won't know why.
Exactly. And I'm a little concerned. I still think this is a decent mediary solution, but I think that maybe Google should, like, maybe the first time you get a reaction, it should send a little message just saying like, this is a kind of fix for something that Apple was doing. It's going to be confusing for a lot of people. Yeah. They're going to be like, why can't I react back to you?
This is the flex tape of feature patches. It's like slapping a Band-Aid on it. Like, yeah, you can see reactions. Yeah, yeah, it works. And then you're just like, well, I don't know if I can send one back or not unless I try.
Exactly. You could potentially make the argument, if you don't do a warning, that this might bring more people to iMessage because rather than getting just like the annoying, he liked it, you're like, oh, so, I got a reaction. That's fun. I can do that to everyone on iMessage.
Here is the interesting thing that I was thinking about this morning in the car. I was like, previously, it was annoying to the Android user to get those reacts from the iOS user because you would get a message that would say blank, ha-ha'd your message.
Or that's
like,
annoying.
Liked your message. It's annoying because I got that full page. Now I get the reacts on my phone, but I can't reply to them. And so now it went from me receiving something that made me feel annoyed to my inability to show the same emotion back to the other person that is making me feel annoyed. And my question here is like, is that, like Andrew said, is that gonna make people more want to go to an iPhone because they want to use the feature versus more want to go to an iPhone because they're annoyed at iOS user is doing to them?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I think it might be a little strong. Like, I get that you can't react back, but you can just send an emoji and they can just get the emoji back. Like, right now, if I send you a text on an iPhone, there's two iPhones talking, and I react to your text, to me, that's like kind of the end of the conversation. Like, I wasn't replying, but I'll just like thumbs up so I saw it. Mm-hmm. So you're not reacting to my reaction. You're just going, okay, you saw it. Like, when I see a reaction, I'm like, all right, they saw it.
Yeah.
So if an iPhone to my new phone running the beta of Google Messages reacts, I'm not really mad that I can't react back. If I did want to react back, I would just send an emoji, I guess. But I'm not like switching phones because
I can't
react back. It's so
annoying
though.
And also like the context of like hearting a message versus sending a heart is different.
Yeah, it's like, a little different.
I know
that's fair.
It shouldn't be, but it feels different.
We should just switch to Telegram. Like what are we doing? I'm just kidding. Stop. Stop.
Why don't you just use Telegram, dude? Like the rest of the world.
This is just like an extension on that Blue Bubbles versus Green Bubbles video where like 90% of this conversation is seemingly ridiculous to people who don't care about the iMessage features. Right. But imagine you're using WhatsApp and somebody on a different service can send you messages that land in your WhatsApp inbox, but you can't react back to them. Just like a weird dynamic.
That's the other thing is that like you're texting, specifically iMessage is the Messages app on iOS is like one of the only messaging apps that changes its feature set based on the recipient. It is the only one because everything else is platform agnostic, right? You have Telegram. It works exactly the same on Android, iOS, on Mac, on Windows. It's like all the same.
Does that make it more or less accommodating? Because if you have WhatsApp, you can talk to anyone else who has WhatsApp. Mm-hmm. But if they don't have WhatsApp, you can't talk to them with WhatsApp.
I think that's
so iMessage is more accommodating because you can talk to people with iMessage or without.
It's just worse. The fact that iMessage is built into the Messages app and it just confuses people to thinking it's regular texting.
I'm playing devil's advocate. It's clearly like it's one of the only. Yeah, it is the only app. That
it's
actually
like the
does
only
that.
App. And now, well, I guess now Google Messages with RCS versus non-RCS features is basically the same thing.
Right.
But I am just really curious, like, are people going to be more driven towards iPhones because they want a feature versus being annoyed? That's the difference. Like, it's going to take a long time for this to percolate throughout the industry because, again, it's only new phones that are shipping that are going with Google Messages. So it's going to take, I would say, 2 to 3 years before we start to know like how people are using their messaging app now. Mm-hmm. But that's a question that interests me a lot.
Yeah, I think you can get comboed into, like, you can get annoyed plus, like, missing out on features. You can get enough of these things happen to you where you're like, oh, fine, I'll just get an iPhone. Like, people are just telling you to get an iPhone.
Yeah.
But
it just sucks if you want to send an emotion back and you don't have the capability to, but the person you're talking to does.
Right. Like,
that's annoying.
I guess my question would be, how much of this patching is Google going to do? Like, right now, the reactions are a big thing, right?
Yeah.
You got 6 tap backs. So Google's like, you know what? Those are the things you're using all the time. We'll build those in, even though iMessage isn't sending that information natively. Well, what about other stuff that iMessage does?
Yeah.
Do you want to start patching that stuff too? Or is it just reactions because that's like the big one?
I think reactions is like possibly the only one you can technically do.
It was the one they could do, actually okay. pull off.
Because you can't, easiest. Yeah, you couldn't do, you couldn't do inline replies because it just doesn't support. Well, maybe you could. You can't do typing indicators because there's no like data sending constantly saying showing you're typing.
Right.
It's an SMS.
Mm-hmm.
Video support, you'd have to.
So you got the file size limit to deal
with? Yeah. Unless Google was like, you are sending a video over SMS. Let me intercept that, put it in the internet, create like some sort of video player, and then send. I don't know. They could do that. I don't think they're going to do more than this, personally. Yeah.
This is the one convenient thing that they can intercept via SMS and turn into a feature.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Flex tape.
Yeah.
Boom. There it is.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's going to be weird. It's fun seeing this play out in real time, especially because this has been such a big conversation for so many years and like all of a sudden it's kind of coming to a head.
Yeah.
You know.
The other weird, or I guess not weird, but interesting dynamic to pay attention to is we were reviewing these phones, the S22s. You've got the S22 Plus here. I've had the Ultra in my pocket for a little while, and we actually just now got the S22 Standard.
Mini boy.
The stock Messages app is the Google Messages app.
With a Samsung skin.
With a Samsung mm-hmm. skin.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. So I've got the Google Messages app on almost every phone I've used for the past like 3-4 years. It's just the app that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got this phone, I saw that it had it pre-installed already. I was like, that's great. Mm-hmm. When I go to the Play Store to install Google Messages, it says, oh yeah, you already have it installed.
Mm-hmm.
But it is skinned and it does have a couple different behaviors, like this half screen behavior.
Yeah, shows like, you probably can't see it, but it shows like half of it just says messages.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
to me, that's a waste of space, but it's like a one UI
It's the Samsung
thing.
Reachability thing.
Yeah, it's a reachability,
yeah.
which I get, but it still feels weird. Like every time I sort of do this to sort of.
It's when I first switched Claire to her Samsung, she was like, it's stuck because it looks like you're doing the refresh pull down and where it comes and then pings back up.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's stuck and I can't get it to change.
Yeah.
And even I was like, I don't know what's wrong. And then looked it up. Yes.
Yeah. For like audio listeners, it's like the top half of the screen is white and then just says messages.
Yeah,
in
literally
a big bold
like
text.
30% of the
and then
screen.
Almost the second full bottom half is where you actually text.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's kind of annoying.
Which does make sense because like the Note 22 is gigantic and like reaching up to the top every
time. It's smart.
Time
I get why they do it. I think I praised it when they first started doing it with their apps, the Settings app, and all that.
Mm-hmm. Are you also saying Note 22 as a joke or on purpose?
Nope, that was
we
not a joke at all. I promise.
Like Marquez keeps saying that, and I keep thinking he's joking, but he's doing it like
I'm not
by
wrong.
Accident.
It's a Note 22. It's,
you're correct,
but
definitely.
I have definitely said that a couple times.
I was wondering why you're laughing. I didn't notice
but
that.
But I guess the reason I bring that up is this is one of the points I'm going to make in their full review, but it's like this feels like more like Samsung has control over the Android experience more than Google does.
Yeah.
Like more people obviously use Samsung phones. And we've said it for years, like when you compare iPhones to Android phones, 90% of the world's like, yeah, iPhone and Galaxy, right, the two different things. So we've got these couple of features I wanted to point out that make it seem more like a default.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is, you got the Google Messages app, but Samsung's like, no, we're doing it our way.
And they're the only ones that are allowed to skin this.
They're the only ones that have skinned
really
it.
Really weird.
So, you know, special privileges to Samsung.
Yeah.
Then number two is Samsung actually offers 4 years of OS updates when the Pixel only offers 3. Wow.
Sick.
Okay. So that's another reason like someone would probably opt for the Samsung phone over the Pixel. And then the last one was just there's a couple exclusive features. One of them was recently updated. There's a new Google Duo feature.
Native Duo integration to
Native
messages,
Duo.
Right?
Yeah. So one of them was YouTube videos will play back in line in a Duo chat. And that was like a YouTube working together with Google thing.
But that's all phone. That's all Android.
That's all phones. Android. And yeah. then there's a new Duo SharePlay feature where yeah. you can watch. I call it SharePlay because that's what Apple calls the same feature. But yeah. you can watch a YouTube video with somebody while Duo calling them.
Yeah.
And that only works.
Exclusive to Samsung
with
phones.
Samsung phones. So it's a feature that Google collaborated with to make like YouTube and SharePlay and Duo. They make Duo. They own YouTube. This yeah. is a Google thing.
Yeah.
And they didn't put it on the Pixel.
Yeah. And I asked Google, like, is this coming to all Android phones? And they were like, for now, we are working with this OEM partner. And I'm just like,
at least the Pixel. Why not
the Pixel?
The Pixel.
Like the Pixel should be the default Android phone because Google makes Android. But like, this by far feels like more of a default Android phone than any other phone that's out right
at
now.
At this point, that's the way I'm phrasing it in the review.
Yeah.
Which is like, yeah, we knew it's a good phone, and we even know it's like kind of a boring phone, and that's, to me, actually kind of a compliment.
That makes it more like the mm-hmm. iPhone.
Because there's no glaring flaws.
Right.
There's nothing missing.
Right.
It's fine. It's boring. Whatever.
It's functional, but it's not fun.
But if I'm going to sit down here and recommend like a blanket recommendation, one Android phone for the masses, what are you going to recommend? Probably just an S22
oh, yeah.
Plus.
This is the safest bet possible.
Yeah.
Like they're not trying anything wild that's going to weird people out, but everything it does is just very solid.
Rock solid. I think the analogy I'm going to use is like probably to like a San Antonio Spurs from the 2000s or even the Phoenix Suns now.
Dave and I definitely understand. Just,
I guess I'll Sports. Talk right into the camera for this one.
I don't know what's going on.
Boring basketball is usually winning basketball. But also I wish Adam was here because
like
we'd talk Sorry. Roster construction where it's if you build around a superstar, the superstar's got to be great. And if the superstar falters, the team's bad. If you build a smartphone around one superstar feature, great. But if it doesn't work well all the time, the phone's going to feel bad because you yeah. made sacrifices yeah. to make the whole thing around that superstar feature.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's, let's say an example would be like...
What's the phone that's done that?
Like a superstar feature phone?
If I just go... S20 Ultra.
S20 right? Ultra superstar camera, 100X.
But it sucks.
100X. Like, look at the back of the phone. It yeah. says 100X yeah. right on the back.
Yeah.
And there's other good things about that phone, but it was like when that turned out to not be as good as
it's
it was.
Like your camera superstar was, getting injured.
It was $1,500. Like yeah. you were paying superstar money to yeah. get a little bit extra, and it didn't turn out to be worth it.
Watch him break his ankle.
The camera couldn't even focus on anything, and the 100X was trash. And
it was rough.
It's like the whole phone was built around the camera system, but the camera system was bad.
Yeah.
And that's the case, like
now if we look at the Pixel, this is an interesting one. Yeah. What is the Pixel's superstar feature? I would argue it's yeah, the Google the software Google, experience. Yeah. You get mm-hmm. the Google stuff, mm-hmm. all the Google
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when there's a Samsung phone getting exclusive Google features before you?
Yeah.
Now your superstar feature is like kind of missing a piece.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting this one.
Right.
Maybe the Duo feature is not the thing that sells you the phone, but it's just the precedent's yeah. been set. Like Samsung phones get all the same stuff.
Well, this happened too because like Pixel phones are supposed to get updates before any other Android phone. But
right.
recently it was like, I think probably for the December update.
The December update
or
was
the January
late.
Update. They've been late.
Yeah.
Both the December and the January have been late. And I think other OEMs got their updates first.
I got it on my S21 Ultra before I got it on my Pixel 6 Pro.
So everyone's just like,
true.
So what? That was the whole point of buying the Pixel is like getting every new thing first. It's sort of like the Android power user beta
yeah.
user phone, but then you don't get any of those things.
Yeah.
And so then also just a glitchy phone. So like,
yeah. So like the Pixel's not going to win on display. The Pixel's not going to win on battery, but it's going to win on like camera and software.
Yeah.
So now if your major superstar stuff isn't actually standout, there's no reason to spend more for it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this $1,000 phone to me feels like if you want a flagship Android phone, that's the default.
Mm-hmm.
Probably like the coldest take in the world. Like, yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
But well, it's just so locked in.
I don't know. I think the S22 Plus specifically is probably just like the best possible recommendation.
Yeah.
Because it is good battery life, good cameras, good everything. Mm-hmm. The small boy, obviously, like we're still testing the battery.
That's my disclaimer. Just started testing it. I think it's a $799 phone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, we want to save a little bit of money. Same specs, same cameras, but smaller screen, smaller battery.
Mm-hmm.
Slower charging too.
At least the charger is cheaper on the smaller one.
So do I think most people will miss that like slightly slower charging? I don't think that makes a huge difference.
No.
But if the battery is bad, I think that does make a difference.
That's the biggest
thing. So I think if you just want safe,
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the safe one.
Because the things people want good of on their phone are battery and cameras.
That's battery, like, camera, screen. I always say I had a five pillars of a great smartphone, and five is even a lot
that's a lot.
Like the average person. But my five were performance has got to be solid, camera's got to be solid, battery's got to be solid. Performance, battery,
software.
Camera. Software has got to be solid, and just a generally good, like, build quality in general.
Yeah. The funny thing is I feel like performance has skewed towards level of bugginess, because pretty much all phones are performant now. Like, what does performance really mean anymore? It's stability is more of...
Yeah, at a flagship level, you're pretty much getting good performance everywhere. Yeah. But again, battery might suffer, bugginess might happen. So if you can nail those five, then you've got a good phone. I think I might do this again in the review and bring this up again too. But this phone, it's got all five. Mm-hmm. Software, rock solid. More so than the Pixel, even.
Yeah.
Build quality, it's glass again now, fine.
Yeah.
Battery life, like we said, great. Cameras are really solid. And then, you're looking at a pretty performant phone. So no problems here.
It's even flat like the iPhone 13.
That's true.
Yep.
That's true.
Slightly rounded on the sides, but.
And now you can see people's reactions.
Well.
If you get the beta.
Some people, because I still don't have it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think you got trolled. I think somebody liked them all knowing you were going to get a page of messages.
Or they just intentionally sent me the liked, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I do really want to test that to see if you can,
trick it.
I feel like it has to.
I got
to
try it.
There's no way you couldn't.
Yeah.
It might be while the SMS is in the network kind of thing, and it does it at that point. I don't know.
You just have to,
if
you type out the exact SMS that your phone would have sent and send that, will the Android phone pick up that SMS and flip it as if you hit the tap?
I don't see how it could differentiate.
We have to try this after this podcast immediately.
Yeah. I think it would. My theory is it will show reaction.
Okay.
I think so. I think it will.
Okay.
All right.
Sick. All right. That's we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about how desperate AT&T must be.
And me.
It's loud, deafening, cacophonous.
It's a nightmare.
Oppressive.
And just what is it that many people think is pretty nightmarish and yet are still willing to shell out quite a bit of money for a night out at a restaurant?
Sound is the number one complaint that diners have about their experience. So why are restaurants so loud, and when did that start happening?
Is there anything anyone can do to fix it? We've got the answers on the latest episode of Gastropod.
All that, plus the science behind the perfect playlist to accompany your meal. This special episode is part of our new collaboration with the podcast Switched on Pop.
Find Gastropod and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
This week on The Pitch, we're back to pitches. And this one's coming from my job.
What Podcast AI does is it lets podcast producers become 10 times more productive.
How much are you charging The Pitch?
We're charging $99, and Josh came in right before we doubled our prices.
Mm-hmm. What's keeping something like a Restream from just going like, yep, we do all this AI now stuff too?
So there's a lot of these older companies that are tacking on AI, and that's kind of the issue. They're tacking it on.
You built this really quickly. What's to stop anybody else from doing this? What's the moat?
How do you build a moat when you're building with AI? That's this week on The Pitch. Go right now and subscribe to The Pitch wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, briefly, one more story. And this one might break the internet because I think I'm about to say something nice about a carrier.
That's illegal.
End of the podcast.
It's pretty, I know, this is crazy. But a couple days ago, I tweeted, we saw that it looked like AT&T was offering exactly $800 for trade-ins for, towards the Galaxy S22 or S22 Ultra for like everything.
Yeah.
Everything. So I went through the site and I punched in, what if I trade in a Galaxy Fold? They would give you $800. Okay. What if I trade in an iPhone 12? They would give me $800. So I went all the way to the oldest models and I said, what if I trade in an iPhone 6? And it said, they give you $800. And I said, what if I put in an iPhone SE first gen? And they said, we'll give you $800. And I was like, is this real or is this like a bug? Because it kind of to me felt like, hey, listen, we believe in these phones, and we want so bad for these people on older phones because we know you're about to upgrade. Mm-hmm. You're on an iPhone 6. You're looking for a new phone.
Yeah.
Okay. I want you on our network, sign a long-term contract, buy this phone. This is, we want, I don't care how much it costs, customer acquisition, we'll pay it. Mm-hmm. I thought that might have been really what was happening.
Yeah.
And with Samsung, probably,
so too.
Yeah.
With Samsung probably wanting to take over some of the market share back in the US from, I wouldn't doubt if, you know, work together to try and give it better prices to get someone off of an iPhone onto.
Yeah, confidence in these phones. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was like, all right. So I tweeted a video of me going through the site and plugging in like progressively cheaper phones, and it just kept offering me $800 for a trade in. And yes, I know it's locking you into a long term contract on the carrier, and it's giving you $800 off of the total monthly price you would have been paying for the subsidy because you pay $36 a month or whatever. Mm-hmm. But still, $800 for like a $5 market value phone. That's pretty good.
Especially for a phone that is, the small one is $800.
Yeah. And so like,
just trading your iPhone 6 for a Galaxy S22.
It's still noteworthy. And so like, you could literally go on eBay, buy a $5 iPhone 6.
Yeah. Not five. They're like $100 because it had to be working and not a cracked screen and stuff like
that. You can buy a 16 gig iPhone 6 on eBay for $40 probably.
Even if it was $100, that's still $700.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You go flip it, you bring it to AT&T and you say, I want my trade-in money, and you get $800 off. That I thought was pretty good. I tweeted it and AT&T quote tweeted my tweet. And this is what they said. They said, let's call it a Willy Wonka golden ticket moment for our handful of customers who lucked out during a short-lived online glitch. If you're one of them, DM us so we can outfit your new phone too. So it sounds like
they're giving you a free case.
They're going to outfit your new phone, so they're going to give you a case.
Sounds like they're going to honor it.
If you took advantage of a web glitch.
So I'm not sure if that means they're going to honor the $800 off.
I think that means they will.
If they actually do.
That's what a golden ticket would be, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like
sounds
a golden
like
ticket.
It, yeah.
So that's like a nice thing to say about AT&T.
They only fixed the 6, right?
Right. Okay. So I was going to get to this. So I just now went back to AT&T.com and I went in to go buy an S22 Ultra, and I went down to the trade-in section and I plugged in iPhone 6, and it's now offering me $5 off, which is like, oh,
legit rounding error.
They found it. They found the bug. This is a short-lived glitch. I went in and plugged in iPhone SE. First generation, 16 gig, $5 estimated value. Great. But you know what's funny? I went in and I searched for iPhone 7, 32 gig, and it's still offering me $800.
Also, I just looked that up on eBay, $100.
$100 off.
Yep. No, you could get one for $100, so it would be $700.
You can buy it for $100 and then get the $800 trade-in value.
Yeah.
So if AT&T is still feeling like Willy Wonka, and you feel like getting lucky.
They are definitely not anymore.
They probably just yelled at an engineer that was like, Marquez says that you can get an iPhone 6 and an SE, and then they just fixed that, but they didn't look deeper.
Yeah, so, you know, if you're feeling lucky, you can try it. You can grab a cheap iPhone from eBay and try it out, but it looks like, you know, there's still a couple weird glitches on AT&T's site that they may offer and actually follow through with.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Not endorsing
I'm not
AT&T.
Held responsible for anything you do after watching this video.
Yeah,
just on the talk of trade-in, Samsung's offering some pretty, and I'm sure they always do, they offer some really, really good trade-ins. Yeah. I think I looked up an S20 Ultra, which I'm sure if anyone has one out there, they're looking to get rid of it. You can get like $450 towards the S22 series. That's awesome. That's like half price.
Mm-hmm. 450.
That's pretty good.
That's awesome.
$200 phone. It's like you did lose money, but it was 2 years
you
old.
You lost money, but you got 2 years of usage out of it, and $450 off is
not bad.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. I think Apple does about the same. It's like $450 for an iPhone 11 Pro towards a 13 Pro.
2 year old, yeah. Yeah. So it's not going to be like, honestly, you can get
$800.
More. No. Yeah, but I still think like, and this is maybe a privileged place to come from, but if you can sell your phone outright and buy the new one outright, you will get more money
for
it.
You will get more.
If your phone holds value well, like an iPhone 11 will hold more than that $450.
Yeah, not a lot more though.
Okay.
I looked on eBay and the iPhone 11 Pros are going for like $550 or $600. And then after the eBay fees and shipping, it's like, it becomes very close.
Okay.
So a lot of the time it might just be better to just trade it in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It depends on the phone, obviously.
If you can find that where you're giving the phone to will do something good with it, they can recycle it. If they're doing something like that, then that's probably the option you want to go with. But, you know, if you're just looking to get the maximum dollar, or AT&T glitch, step number one.
Yeah.
Step number two, trade in.
Or send it to Fairphone.
And then get a Fairphone.
And then get a Fairphone.
If you're into that.
And they will recycle the phone.
There you have it.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's it for this week. Definitely stay tuned for, maybe by the time you see this, we're right around the corner from the reviews of S22 Ultra. I said S22, not Note. Mm-hmm. I'm getting it right. And S22 and S22
I'm
Plus.
I'm just walking around with a stick hitting you every time.
I gotta say it right every time. And so yeah, those will be coming up soon. But definitely make sure you're subscribed here for all the latest and the next best episodes. We're coming up with some good stuff on this podcast, mm-hmm. So be sure to get subscribed. Anyway, all right, that's been it. Catch you guys later. Peace.
Waveform was produced by Adam Molina. We are partnered with Vox Media, and our intro-outro music was created by Vane Sill. Also, Hayato was doing audio recording today, so just, you know,
on the boards.
A little shout-out.
Shout-out to Hayato on the boards.
Shout-out.
Celebrity guest
subbing
boards.
In and out. Subbing in and out.